Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. It's brought to you in association with Levi Solicitors. 10% discount can be yours on your legal fees at levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. Dan with you, along with Michael and Moscow White as well, Daniel Chapman. As we go back to August, the 21st of August, 2011, what happened then, Michael? Tell me.
We went to West Ham.
West Ham?
West Ham. When it was proper West Ham as well, in Upton Park.
Yep.
And Big Sam was in charge.
So this is it then, the Square Ball Guide to Leeds facing Big Sam's West Ham. Easy for you to say. What happened, Michael? What the hell happened?
Well, should we think about where Leeds were at the time?
Yeah, I want to know what kit we were in because I would get very excited by things like
that. The horrible one.
So we were in the black kit with the luminous yellow on it.
The disgusting bin bag shiny black macron and fluorescent thing. I still see the old scarf around that kind of spawned off the back of this. Just reminds me of a bad time. Mm. But yeah, I was absolutely hated this kit. But this was maybe the high point of it, unless anyone can point me in the direction of something better that happened in it. But it was a fun day, was this.
One thing to note about West Ham's kit on this particular day as well, who is their shirt sponsor?
Spotup.
It's not Spotup, it's Spotbet.
Spotbet.
Yeah. SBO Bet, who have got a little swishy SS logo, which is exciting for them, isn't it? This is when the first time they reared their heads was on West Ham shirts in 2011. So this is our second season in the Championship, having been promoted back from League One.
And having had a good year, when we just missed out on the playoffs, didn't we? We didn't quite invest enough in January, but thankfully we sorted it all out in this summer by letting a load of first team players leave and spending hardly any money.
And ordering some of them to leave as well. Kasper Schmeichel didn't know he was going until he got told, did he?
Bradley Johnson just wanted a new contract.
Yeah.
Told him to fuck off.
Wanted Parity, didn't he?
He did. He went off to Norwich. Kilkenny and Naylor left. Shane Higgs left, which meant there was also, as well as the Andy Lonergan space for left by Kasper Schmeichel, Hubka could come in as backup, right. which was good.
Shane Higgs, a very beautiful man.
Got Michael Brown on a free. That was good.
No, it wasn't.
Darren O'Day came in on loan. That was good. You meant to say no, it wasn't.
I didn't mind him.
He was all right, wasn't he? Just a bit basic.
Yeah.
And Andy Keogh. So yeah, we'd not done very much in that summer to sort of indicate we were actually trying to get promoted.
And West Ham were coming into the division then from the other end. They'd been relegated the previous season under Avram Grant.
Yeah, they'd been very much bottom of the league though. 9 points they went down by.
Wow.
Did very well there.
Finished bottom of the league with 33 points. Imagine getting such a low points total in the Premier League, etc.
Who was there? I'm just trying to check whether Angus Kinnear was their chief executive. Of course he was, because he oversaw the move away from Upton Park to the London Stadium. So it's not only Sam Allardyce who was on their side in this game, but our managing director, chief executive.
And the shirt sponsors as well. It's all
similar shirt sponsors. And
makes you think,
a little badge redesign that they'd coincidentally there as well. They had, it was 10,000 people that they asked their opinions on that. However, they did. The small difference at West Ham was they got three options and got fans to vote on which ones they liked.
And they were all fairly West Hammy looking, weren't they? There was nothing that was like...
There were no cartoon characters, like headless cartoon characters doing funny things.
They didn't just decide to put the Honey Monster on one of them and go, well, this is nice.
You have made me think, actually, you know, the headless lead saluter on that badge makes me wonder what the head would have looked like.
Avram Grant.
Yeah, could have been. Absolutely could have been. So... Allardyce is their boss now then, succeeding Avram Grant. He's come from Blackburn.
Yeah, Venky's got rid of Blackburn because they were... I think he's still in charge of Blackburn.
They
now,
are, so they got rid of Allardyce, but kept Blackburn.
Yeah, they're kind of still bubbling along.
It was a choice between the two. They kept the club, got rid of the manager.
It was their weird early days when they didn't... I mean, whether they know what they're doing now, I don't know, but they seem to have brought some other people in, whereas this early days, they were like, I think we should be top, and we're 13th. So they got rid of Allardyce, and they put Steve Keane in charge, and you know what happened after that. But yeah, they brought...
The wonderful advert that they did with all the players in the changing rooms eating chicken.
Yes, but then they'd gone with Allardyce as a pragmatic... kind of an appointment to get them back up. But he was, I don't know, he never felt very West Ham-y, did
he? It's not the old West Ham school of football.
Exactly. Not the West Ham way.
And all that.
As all that. And he made it very Bolton-y as well. So we brought in like Kevin Nolan and Fye and O'Brien and Taylor. So he's got all his old chums there. And Brian Montenegro.
Who, no Jussi Askelainen. That's the big mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he didn't need him. He had... future lead star Rob Green, didn't he, as the goalkeeper? So,
and George McCartney was in their squad as well, who had been on loan with us previously.
And yeah. I interrupted the Brian Montenegro chat as well.
That's the end of it, really. played a bit for them about as much as he did for us.
Yeah, just it was just a simple bare fact. Yeah.
If any Leeds fans listening to this don't know who Brian Montenegro was, fine.
We probably can't do a guide. We might have to lump in, do a guide to like the Chileno players who never played or something.
That's not a bad one.
Zan Benedicic and some other people like that. And also, I mean, they also didn't need a goalkeeper because their sub-goalkeeper was called Rude Boffin, which is just a great name.
A clever man.
Mm.
Yeah, very intelligent for a footballer.
A bit naked.
To the lineups then, we've touched on some of it there. Rob Green, Reed, Tomkins, O'Brien, Ilunga, Nolan, Parker.
Scotty Parker.
Scotty Parker, yeah.
Played in Obladigan, didn't he?
It did indeed. Collison, Taylor, Noble, and Cole was the starting lineup.
The one thing that I would actually flag about Parker in this game, he had quite long hair. I don't care for it.
Fine. Leeds lineup: Lonergan, Kisnobo, Lees, White, O'Day, Gradle, Howson, Clayton, Snodgrass, Keogh, and McCormack. McCormack replaced on 77 by Ramon Nunez, no less. And Lloyd Sam came on late for Max Gradle.
Sadly, Rehobka and Connolly and O'Brien didn't get on the pitch, but John Carew did get on for them, which felt unfair.
A very big man.
Very, very big and very Champions League-y as well to be bringing on in the Championship.
Is Allardyce's absolute dream centre-forward is John Carew. Massive, like about 7 foot tall, but also feet.
To the game, as we strut around in our black and fluorescent. You've put it green here. It always struck me as a bit of a yellow.
I'd say green.
It's just horrible. It's just black and a horrible colour.
6 minutes in, then the action starts.
Yeah, classic bit of Big Sam. Corner, Carlton Cole. There you go. Job done.
Whose fault was it?
Tom Lees.
Tom Lees' fault. Why? Because he didn't mark Carlton Cole, did he?
He was the nearest to him, I mean.
He did look gutted as well, so I think it was his responsibility.
He shouldn't have been really marking him. Darren O'Day was a lot bigger, as was Kisnobo.
He was a lot older. Tom Lees was quite tall.
I don't know. I think it's because I think of him as a little puppy. I mean, he's playing fullback.
Yeah,
in this
that wasn't
game
real.
Well.
That was a Photoshop.
Oh, was it? I thought it was just from the youth team.
Further on in the first half, we had the chance to get level and blew it. It's a penalty that we missed.
Would you believe it?
Seems very un-Leedsy.
Max Gradle as well. People expected him to score this probably, but
he had scored one already in the season.
But yeah, it's a long throw into the box. We're out Samming Big Sam.
Yep.
It's flicked on and Taylor leans across. I think he's one of those where he thinks he can get his chest to it, but he twists his arm out instead, doesn't he? And it's
deflected quite harsh. It's not there. I don't think he had a lot of time to react. Sort of bounced towards him quite fast.
There was an instinctive jutting out of the arm. It was an unnatural position, as they would say in 2023.
It was a silhouette.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at that.
Very much so. I don't think we've mentioned the fact, have we, that Simon Grayson was our boss here?
Yeah, of course
he was out Samming Big Sam at this point. So what else happened?
Well, then Gradle pull it wide instead of putting it in the goal.
Yeah, that's
quite annoying.
And they probably should have had a penalty before half time as well. Carlton Cole's going through sort of down the right hand side, and Eddie White gets in a bit of a tangle with him. It's a not entirely dissimilar to like the one against Newcastle.
What, Junior Firpo?
It's always Junior Firpo, isn't it? But yeah, where Firpo's into the box, and he's the player sort of just runs into his legs more than anything.
Didn't get him though back in that day, did you? It was different standards.
I don't think there should have been a penalty because Eddie White was so much faster than Carlton Cole that if he'd just taken another couple of strides, he would have got the ball off him. So he had no real reason to foul him. So I don't believe that he did. And he's a, I think it's that simple.
It's the Premier League's Michael Oliver was the ref.
Said to be the best.
It's quite weird looking at Michael Oliver 10 years ago.
I was going to say, said to be the best ref in the land these days, isn't he?
Useless. So useless in this one.
Big Sam wasn't happy, was he?
No, he said he would. No one can convince me they were anything but two blatant penalties. Not sure what the second one was. I couldn't find that.
Didn't look like one to me.
No, I didn't think so either. No. Definitely not.
Well, there was one for us as well. I suppose we'll come to that.
Start the second half. AD White is fouled. And this is a foul and a penalty and two red cards.
I mean, no one convinced me that that wasn't a blatant penalty.
I mean, yeah, Big Sam has he's chosen to ignore that one, hasn't he?
Unfortunately.
And that was Scotty Parker. He went right through AD White. And this is where I didn't enjoy his long hair because he sort of bounces up. And his hair's flying all over the
place.
Like
a Timotei advert.
And he's shouting at little Lady White, accusing him of diving. It took me a while to work out which player it was, and it's fucking Scott Parker. Comb your hair, button your lip, and...
go and join Spurs, which is what he did.
Yeah, and let us have a penalty for
a week after.
Well, unfortunately, we've seen the referee not do what he's paid to do, as Big Sam said in his quotes in the Daily Mail. But by the hour mark, we were level.
Ross McCormack, fairly standard ball across the box, just sweeps it in from 6 yards. But yeah,
Was this McCormack in his pomp for you?
No, it was a bit. It was later, wasn't it? McCormack's pomp. It was more when he was the only good player. At this point, we still had Snodgrass in the team, didn't we? So you had more than one person to pass to. It's probably a bit confusing for him.
I mean, we still had quite a good team going forward because if you think so, Becchio is still there. Beckford's left, but they both. I know it's a bit technical with. Becchio, but both played in the Premier League. Gradle played Premier League, didn't he? Certainly Lee Dan, but he came back with Bournemouth. Snodgrass, McCormack obviously famously never made it, but should have. Howson, did Adam Clayton play in the Premier League?
Yeah, he'd have done it for Borough, wouldn't he?
Yeah, so he got up. And who's on the other wing? I think that's everybody going forward. It's only the defence where he starts to go. I don't think Darren O'Day ever... Darken that.
Darren O'Day just went off to far-flung countries and went, it's horrible here, isn't it? I don't know why I've signed. who's made me do this?
What am I doing?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So McCormack sweeps it home anyway, 59 minutes. 3 minutes later, though.
Kiznarbo sweeps it home.
Oh, dear. Wrong end, though.
Absolutely. One of the most unstoppable finishes you will see in your life. Yeah, the cross comes in. He's obviously trying to sweep it behind for a corner. Gets it a bit mixed up. Mm. And instead, Tony Yeboahs it into a top corner at about 200 miles an hour.
It's really annoying because the first 15 minutes of the second half in particular, we come flying out. And it was some of that classic kind of Grayson's Leeds all-out attack. I forgot to mention Keogh in the side. Did Keogh ever play in the Premier League? He must have done Palace,
probably.
Wolves. Yeah, so we had all these, and it looked like it. We had these good attackers, and our defence basically didn't really have to do anything in response to any of it, apart from wait for us to score, which we did, so we get it level. And then, yeah, the next attack, West Ham, basically their first threat of the second half. Kiznarbo just belts in on their behalf. Bit annoying, but, you know, I think, signs for things to come this season.
Keogh never played for Palace, by the way. Don't know why you've got that in your head. I just checked it then.
Who did he play for?
Wolves is all I remember.
Well, he did play in the Premier League, though, yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
He did. We nearly 3-1 down as well, not long after this.
Andy Lonergan.
Yeah, far post corner, headed back into the box.
I mean, they did trouble us from corners and set pieces.
What? Big Sam side?
This entire game. A lot of big people in this team.
Yeah, if they'd have taken full advantage, there were some very good saves from Andy Lonergan, but then also some horrendous misses. There's one point as well when we nearly score, actually, because Kevin Nolan, Big Sam's son, is trying to control the ball by the touchline so he can cross again. He just falls over. It's great. He's doing that thing all the Brighton defenders do now, where they put the foot on the ball and kind of try to roll it. Mm. And he does that, except his foot just kind of hovers above the ball and he falls over and he rolls out of camera shot. And I think it's Snoddy is with him. He just takes the ball off him and launches an attack that we nearly score from. But yeah, the number of chances they had from corners and set pieces was, again, a bit of a sign of what was going to come for our defence the rest of the season, because Lonergan saved a couple, but let's say that Darren O'Day and Patrick Guznorbo and Tom Lees were giving him quite a lot of work to do.
Yeah, so in this case, that particular chance, about 3 yards out, Winston Reid shoots and Lonergan saves it. Very good. And it's always nice when you get a very late equaliser, particularly when you could have been 3-4-1 down by this point. 91st minute, injury time, wallop.
In front of the Leeds fans as well, which is great. And in the days when West Ham had a stadium where you're actually somewhere near the pitch, which was great. I was at this one, as we'll hear in a minute. But yeah, this was, I mean, Housen should probably score the first chance, shouldn't he? It's crossed in and he somehow is in a lot of space and he gets a touch out of his feet and there's a big bit of goal to aim for and you're just waiting to see it bulge. But yeah, he manages to knock it against the underside of the bar. But then
it's a good effort.
Should have scored, I
it's
reckon.
A good shot.
Should have scored.
You hear the bar, it was dead exciting.
It was. It's better. I mean, it's better because you get that, oh, yes! You get that. Yeah. It's great when you get that on a goal.
Yeah, because after it bounced down from the other side of the bar, and then what happened?
Adam Clayton gave us the edge and
kicks it straight to the ground.
Yeah.
And it goes in.
It went
in. It's kind of a scruffy finish, but it's one of those where
it's a controlled finish.
You just get it. You just get it back in there, don't you? And well, this was Adam Clayton's arrival for Leeds as well, wasn't it, this goal? Because he'd been out on loan the season before and the very brief bit we'd seen of him, he didn't particularly look great, but he'd because we'd sold midfielders, he came back and had to be in the team.
Yeah,
and
going down the list, weren't we?
Yeah, and he was great. But I mean, to complete the league's links, actually, he'd been on loan with Carl Robinson at MK Dons the season before.
Ah, there you go.
And this was a good fit. He comes running onto it as the ball's bouncing in the penalty area, and he slows down to make sure he doesn't just Bradley Johnson it over the bar. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, it's whatever he does, he's like, I'm going to make sure this goes on target. And that's why it looks a bit scruffy, because it kind of it goes into the ground and bounces. But he's done all the right things. And it's and then the celebration is brilliant as well. Him piling into the away end with Ramon Nunes. Ramon Nunes came on late in this and we persisted in playing the ball up to him as if he was Bacchio. There's a great bit where he, there's a long ball goes up and he...
Why aren't they kicking it out of my head?
Yeah, he doesn't have a clue what to do. He's up against, who are they? It's not Ross Noble, it's Tompkins.
Ross Noble's a comedian.
Yeah, Tompkins and who's their other?
O'Brien is the other one.
Right, they do have a player.
Or is it Reed?
Noble.
No, no,
anyway,
Reed.
But it's Tompkins who he looks at and he kind of turns and he just goes with two hands, just pushes him over because he's obviously been told to get up amongst it and doesn't have a clue how to play centre forward. And it's just instant blows the whistle. And Mike Glover's like, why? Why well, have you done this?
A beautiful ending for a difficult day to all. This podcast, born on January the 4th, 2010, wasn't it? In the wake of the famous victory at Old Trafford. Very old now.
Glory hunting, bandwagon jumping bastards that we are.
We have been around for many a year now, but when we were a young pup of a podcast, this is what we had to say about this game and some interesting thoughts on Sam Allardyce.
Mm.
Michael, you went to this and I'm guessing were drinking quite a lot?
Not too much before the game, so I've got a fairly good memory of it. We were bloody good, actually. I was very fearful after they scored because their goal had been coming for the first 5 or 10 minutes. But after that, we were the better team for most of it. They looked a lot stronger than us, particularly when the ball was in the air. They, as you would expect from an Allardyce team, they won pretty much everything. But yeah, we matched them all over the pitch, I thought.
Especially when John Carew came on and he was towering over
everybody. I always thought Kiznobo, big fellow, but no.
Yeah, it was made to look very small by both him and Carlton Cole, which made me realise that people always gone about the lower leagues being more physical. And then you saw those two and you think, well, they're from the Premiership and they're both absolute monsters compared to anything you come across on a normal week-to-week basis. They seemed a bit one-dimensional, I thought. They were very much an Allardyce team, long throw-ins, set pieces, pretty much as you would expect. But from open play, they didn't create very much.
Well, it brings me on to Scott Parker, who looks like he's on his way to Spurs, doesn't it, with the transfer deadline. Hang on. Adam Clayton, star of the show, completely dominated proceedings at Upton Park, the Boleyn ground.
There's really nothing for Scott Parker to do at West Ham this season, so he may as well just go. Sam Allardyce probably just looks at him, not quite sure what he's for. You played for England, you say? What position?
Really?
You're fullback? No, not sure about this. Whereas a Redknapp will swoop into the slightly frail-looking midfielder. Counter me. It'll be after Clayton next.
Clayton's late equaliser felt like a winner, didn't it? And he seemed to enjoy it. And I think he pretty much deserved it as man of the match.
It was nice to see that none of the Leeds players who were crowd surfed their way into the away end got anything like... Did they even get told off by the referee? Nothing. Well played, sir.
Again, I didn't write this particular section in the notes, but Sam Allardyce, asexual. Are you responsible for this, Moscow?
You've got to bear in mind...
Put it in context.
What, that I was kept awake all night by wasps?
Yes,
I only had like 2 hours sleep last night because my flat has got a... It's not an infestation yet, but they're gathering. Like War of the Worlds, they're gathering their forces against me. So when I got to work this morning at a dreadfully early hour, having had no sleep, I wrote the notes for this game. Clayton's winner, quotes, was sexy. Kiznobo's own goal, not sexy. Sam Allardyce, asexual. Beyond
Predator, you missed off.
I have no further comments to make.
Which we'd like to say, very much for the record, that was just a joke, wasn't it?
Just a joke.
Just a joke, Michael.
A joke.
Can we sue the Michael Normanton from 2011?
Well, I like about that. He's like, we're so young and so full of hope. Like, you can hear our voices have changed. And Oddie was on that as well. It was lovely to hear like the lesser spotted Oddie on there, our fourth wheel.
And Moscow still lives with those wasps.
Yeah.
Delighted with them. You've just grown to love each other, haven't you? They carry you out of your bed on the morning like something from a cartoon. I
sleep in a wasp keeper's outfit.
I've just realised the real hero of this piece is me, because my second child was born 10 days before this, and they're turning up doing the pod.
Oh wow, amazing.
Driving it forward.
I had a flat full of wasps. You can't tell me about you having a hard time.
So what happened next? Well, my kids grew up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't have any at this point.
No, easier times. Yeah. Much easier. It's at secondary school now, isn't that kid?
He's at secondary school, you're
bloody
right.
Bloody hell.
I know.
The wasp's nest got removed as well. Oh, good. Dealt with, yeah.
That's good.
Excellent. Good news. Bates doing Bates things then in the wake of this.
Yeah, sold Gradle, didn't we?
No, was this the end of Gradle, was it?
Yeah. He played one more game. I think Ipswich at home was after this. So we went, but got Danny Pugh in on loan.
Oh, we got a big fee for him too.
Although we didn't, did we? Because Bates talked us out of it.
Might have looked like a big fee. Agents, everybody, isn't it? People don't think about the exchange rate.
Lost money on him.
Essentially,
that the sounds of it.
Ken's argument, it was about, by the time the next transfer window was open and everyone's like, why aren't we spending the Gradle money? His argument was that there wasn't any because it all went on agents' fees and we actually lost money on the exchange rate, which then just begged the question, like, why the fuck did we sell him?
In fact, we lost so much money on it, we had to sell Johnny Howson and instead get Robbie Rogers on a free.
So he went as well, but at least we had Danny Pugh and Michael Brown. And soon, Neil Warnock.
We finished 14th that season.
It was weird because on the very beginning of the game, the commentators on Sky saying this could probably be the most important game of the Championship season between two teams expected to challenge for the title.
We did not.
No.
We did not.
They did.
It is worth saying, if you want to catch the highlights of this, they are available on YouTube, albeit it's somebody filming it, I think, off BBC iPlayer or something like that, through a potato.
It's not 4K.
No, definitely
but
not.
But you can just about.
And you can get motion sickness watching it, which is good fun. Our final time, our last visit to Upton Park / the Boleyn ground.
It was a good ground, was that. I've not been to the new one yet, other than for a gig. But
Dear Angus Kinnear. Why, oh, why, oh, why?
Well, in fairness, I can see why they did it, because it was free, wasn't it? And I love free stuff. So if someone said, it's not how I would design a football ground, but if someone went, This one's free if you want it.
Can have that one.
Yeah. You can sell the other one.
Actually, it's free. We'll put some temporary seats at the front or whatever. We'll make the best of it. Put some, you've got the basketball courts and that, haven't you? So
what behind the goals?
Yeah, and the twist to end it is that Adam Clayton kind of ends up sticking with Simon Grayson, doesn't he? And ends up by July 2012, they're together again, but at Huddersfield, and Clayton is on his way to a bigger move, isn't he? After that, to the Middlesbrough and the Premier League and all of that,
and his silly coloured beard,
indeed. And Big Sam's on his way to the Premier League because they finished third. It was very tight at the top actually that year, but then they got to the playoff final, beat Blackpool 2-1 in that.
And we did not.
No.
That was the TSB guide to Leeds facing Big Sam's West Ham. We'll see you soon.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.